You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's second reading is taken from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 1141 of the Pew Bibles. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. And again it says, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And then Isaiah says, The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark, for inviting me to talk this morning as part of Heritage Weekend and the stewardship of our gifts and talents. I hope that during our time together, we may be encouraged about how God and creativity can work in and through all of us, whether that is through the arts or by more creative ways of looking at our own lives, our learning, our work, our rest, our care of others, and our relationships. So I wonder what the word stained glass triggers in your thoughts. Medieval cathedrals? Murano glass from Italy? Tiffany lampshades? Or perhaps you think of our wonderful east window made by Leonard Walker in the 1950s. Did you know he was 80 when he designed and made the window? It took him 3 years and he was paid the working man's wage of £8 a week. Stained glass is, by definition, a unique art form that is illuminated by the natural light of the sun or by an artificial light source. It used to be confined to medieval churches at a time when few people could read, and so painted windows were used to teach people in the Christian faith. In more recent times, and inspired by the stained glass of the Middle Ages, many of today's contemporary artists put a modern twist on medieval techniques, and you will see stained glass panels livening up many busy public buildings, hotels, hospitals, airports, and shopping centres. Only last year, the Queen's Window was installed in Westminster Abbey, designed by David Hockney, now in his 80s, and translated into glass using traditional techniques by a lady called Helen Whittaker, an award-winning designer and maker of stained glass windows and metal sculpture. Helen Whittaker is a member of the London Glaziers, one of the ancient livery companies of the City of London dating back to the 14th century, devoted to promoting the art and craft of stained glass. For the last 50 years, the Glaziers have run an annual international competition to encourage emerging artists in the field of stained glass, the only restriction being that entrants must have studied and worked in glass for less than 8 years. For the last 6 years, I have been learning stained glass through adult education here in Tunbridge, and last year I entered this competition. Entrants were asked to design a stained glass panel measuring 1.5 metres long and 1 metre high for the patient waiting area of the new proton beam therapy cancer unit at University College Hospital London, a commission worth up to £12,000. I was delighted to be recognised in this competition with third place from the London Glaziers, but even more thrilled and excited and shocked that the NHS staff selected my design to go forward for the hospital art installation, completion by June next year. So I've been invited to tell my story this morning, to seek your prayer and support as this exciting project unfolds, and to share all that I'm learning about God and creativity as I develop this gift in stained glass. So I'd like to use three ideas to unpack the story. Number one, God and creativity. Is this a call to all of us? Number two, courage to take the first step. I will talk about the Glass Commission with a few pictures. And lastly, a creative conversation with others. How we enable God to be seen and heard. So what exactly do we mean by God and creativity? In the first reading this morning, we heard of God's creative presence in our world. God, Father Creator, your name echoes around the world. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place. And then the question to you and me. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? As we consider the ordering of the planets of our solar system, the countless galaxies of millions of light years distance, it may seem to us incredible that the great God of the universe should take any note of us at all, let alone care for us. We might expect the answer to be, ha, a mere mortal, here today, gone tomorrow. The great God up there can hardly be expected to notice me. After all, he's got a universe to run. But Psalm 8 finds no such answer. In fact, he finds himself in conversation with God, a listening God, a love story for the whole of creation and our part to play in it. So we all know that God loves to create. The natural world is a testament to the inspiration at the heart of all things and God's love of colour, design, functionality, and beauty. If, as human beings, we are made in his image, then when we create, we are reflecting something of his nature. This is about a love story expressed in a million different ways, whether it being picture, in glass, in quilting, in poetry, through movement, through music, through photography, in any way that will enable God to be seen and heard. Well, if you're disappearing in a fog of, but I don't have a creative bone in my body, isn't our greatest creative act ultimately in how we live our daily lives? So what are we doing with our one wild and precious life? Perhaps the way we all live our lives becomes the most creative offering we can all make. God and creativity, it's for all of us. Our second theme, courage to take the first step. A question for you. What brings you most joy and energy in your life? When we recognise and realise this, I believe we might have begun our journey to the call on our lives to do a particular work. I've always been fascinated with stained glass, often found myself standing in a medieval church, and as my eyes adjust to the darkness, I would always notice the coloured light streaming down from the windows above and all around. It seemed to transport me into a thin space, a sacred space, where something of the Creator's awe, wonder, and mystery was present. It gave me joy and energy. Taking the first step for me was joining Seven Oaks Adult Education one evening a week to learn traditional stained glass. The courage needed for that first step is to allow yourself to explore. There are always competing voices that tell us what we should and ought to be doing and prevent us from hearing a call to new opportunities. And here we are, 7 years later, I have the absolute privilege of creating a glass artwork for the new PBT cancer unit at a London hospital. PBT, or proton beam therapy, is an advanced form of radiotherapy used for the treatment of complex cancers, particularly in children and young adults. Previously, patients in the UK had to travel abroad for PBT, but now this advanced treatment will be available next year at University College Hospital, London. So, how to respond to this brief for the competition? How to create a glass design for patients waiting for radiation cancer treatment, 3 floors underground, no natural light, and a highly clinical environment. How to engage this huge audience, hospital staff working 24/7, not knowing if it's night or day underground, sick children and adults passing through, of all faiths and none, how to draw patients away from the stress and anxiety whilst waiting for the treatment. Can the arts really make a difference in this environment? Well, there are many who believe they can. We know that images in nature can reduce pain, anxiety, and stress, so this seemed like a good place to start. Perhaps it could be something to distract. A gentle conversation piece, something easily recognisable, not too abstract, something that might spark a good memory. And yet, at the same time, there also needed to be an acknowledgement of this huge triumph of medical science, engineering and construction in the NHS, some sort of sparkle and glow in the glass. Having lived in Australia for 10 years, my original idea began in Aboriginal art on the idea of songlines, a dreaming track, a path across the land or sky. I was particularly drawn to turtles in Aboriginal art, some of the oldest animals on earth making migratory journeys for an estimated 200 million years, symbolising long life and good health. Thank you, Andy. What can be more graceful? Sorry, back. What can be more graceful than the movement of a gentle ocean-going turtle? Thank you to Juliet Roberts and the family who took this shot underwater in Barbados, Amy's fiancé. So, a journey in nature with a message of hope began to take shape. A migratory journey to better weather. There were also some fascinating connections between proton beam therapy and the mechanics of turtle migration. High-powered magnets supercharging the protons, and turtles use the Earth's magnetic field to navigate. There is a precise targeted beam for the tumour. Turtles travel up to 10,000 miles to reach the exact precise location for nesting, food, and better weather. Huge accelerating devices powerfully gather the protons into the beamline. And we have turtles being powerfully gathered up into ocean currents to conserve energy and be propelled in the right direction. In fact, one of the ocean currents turtles use is the Gulf Stream, and this has become the title of the glass design. So with ideas and concepts in mind, all entrants had to submit, thank you, Andy, a rough sketch of what the whole design might look like. So here we have the idea of a seabed along the bottom layer. It's only a sketch. With imprints of fossils and sea ferns in both corners. Then we have the main turtle being gathered up into the Gulf Stream, closely followed by junior turtles and others joining the Gulf Stream, and then baby turtles migrating off in the curve of the wave in the top right-hand corner. See too, the two large circular rings balanced on top of each other, one for the sun and one for the moon to represent the long journey to migrate through treatment and healing to better weather. These rings will actually form gaps in the glass where the illuminated light will glow through. And then you can see the silver sheen of the Gulf Stream floating over the top of the glass like a sparkling mist. I don't know how I'm going to make that yet in glass. It's 1.5 meters long as well. See the black box in the corner? That is a small part of the whole sketch of the design that I had to make in glass for the competition to show some of the techniques I would be using. And I've got the panel in display in the foyer. But here, next slide, thanks Andy, is a picture of the panel. And you see here the turtle. I couldn't actually fit it in the frame, so I peered it over the edge of the frame. And the judges seemed to find this rather exciting, a touch of crazy and not knowing what to expect next. Next slide is a close-up of the turtle. It's a three-dimensional glass shape with a raised glass underneath, then wire work and soldering to create the idea of a shell. Next, thank you, we have fossils and sea ferns inside the glass layers, creating a sense of timelessness and history in creation, a sense of a bigger purpose going beyond all this cancer in the waiting room. Next slide. You can see bubbles made by sprinkling copper oxide powder between the layers of the glass. Bringing us up to date now. Last week, I went on a site visit to University College Hospital to check out the actual space for the glass installation. Thank you, Andy. Here we are having coffee in the hospital with the support team. Michael Holman, sitting behind, is the organiser of the London Glaziers competition. And Martin Donlin, sat next to me, is an architectural glass artist specialist who has been given to me as a mentor for the project. Next slide. Here we are, preparing to go underground with my tutor from Tunbridge Adult Ed. Next one. Here is the main entrance to the PBT unit on Euston Road. Next one. The architect's drawing of how it will look next year. Next one. And here we are, four floors underground, into the proposed waiting area space for the radiation treatment. Next slide. And this is an architect's view of how the waiting area for the patients will look and the proposed wall site for the glass work. And the last one. A rather anxious-looking Hillary making lots of notes. It can stay up, thank you, Andy. In conclusion, and most important of all, will be the conversations that will follow in that waiting room for treatment. Conversations between staff, patients, and family members going through some of the toughest moments of their lives. As Christians, we're called to share the hope we have in God. The reading from Romans this morning ended with the glorious words to us all, "May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit." It has often been said that there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. There is something in Christian hope that not all the shadows can quench. And that something is the conviction that God is alive. No person is hopeless so long as there is the grace of Jesus Christ. And no situation is hopeless so long as there is the power of God. The Gulf Stream Glass Project, a journey in nature with a message of hope. I pray that the creativity in this glass commission will display something of God's love story for the whole of creation, that it may uplift, distract, and embrace our patients and staff as they work and wait. And most of all, that it will enable God to be seen and heard. Amen.